chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 8 through 14. And the title of my message is probably familiar to you if you were raised in church. It's called This Little Light of Mine. How many of you know the song, This Little Light of Mine? Okay? I decided to be creative this morning. And I do not sing. And my wife was making fun of me earlier with Bob, because Bob asked a question, what key is it or something? And Julie goes, who knows? And I was singing. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead us in a couple of the lines of this song. Please don't let me be the only one singing. Everybody knows this song. All right, on three. One, two, three. This little light of mine,
I'm going to let it shine.
Oh, this little light of mine,
I'm going to let it
shine. That's horrible. Now you see why I don't lead singing. But what I love about this song is that it is full of biblical truth. We live in a community that we love. It's a beautiful community. But one of the problems we have in our community, and it's in any community that you go to, is we have a problem of darkness. And darkness is another term for a life without Jesus Christ. And a lot of times we wonder, how do we get rid of the darkness? Do we yell about the darkness? Do we complain about the darkness? And one of the things we're going to see in the scripture this morning is the way you get rid of darkness is by being light. And the church is not that building. As a matter of fact, that's just a First Baptist shell. The church is you. And if we're going to be what we need to be for the community, if we're going to be what we need to be for our state, we're going to have to understand that if we are believers in Jesus Christ, we are light. And because we are light, we have to shine. And wherever we go, wherever we shine, we get rid of darkness. You don't get rid of darkness by just having laws. No, you get rid of darkness by having light. Now, I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. You have an outline. You have the scripture there. It's the English Standard Version. It's a very accurate version. But listen to what it says, because it's telling us the solution to darkness. For at one time, you were darkness. You were darkness. But now, you are light in the Lord. And I love this next part. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And then he says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So how do we get rid of the darkness? How do we change the community for the better without preaching at them? Because you see, people who don't know Jesus Christ, they're not necessarily receptive to your preaching. But what they are receptive to is when your life's different. The major influence on any community is not the pastor's preaching or the teaching of the church. It's the life change of the individuals. And so when we look at this, we see that our goal should be to shine. And the first part I want you to see is found in verse 8, and it's very simple, but it's very profound. It says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk, a command. The word walk means to live. Walk as children of the light. Now, one of the things that Paul is trying to show us that we need to comprehend as Christians is that your salvation ought to mean something. Your salvation ought to be different from what you used to be. Now, Paul uses a word, if you notice the little word, the verb were. It's past tense. It means you used to be this way. It also means you're no longer to be this way. And then he does not modify that verb with a pronoun. He says, you were darkness. And here's what that means. Before you come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were dark. Now, when you think of darkness, don't think of some person that does, you know, things in secret or some perverted individual. No, darkness is someone who doesn't know Christ. And you see, there's a fallacy sometimes that we all have something good in us. We're born with something good. No, we were born with the potential for good. Because the Scripture says we were dark before Christ. Every single one of us were dark. And then he shows us the contrast there. He uses the verb form. He says, you are. Notice what he says, you were, and then he comes around and he says, you are light. We need to understand that the transition that happens is that when we accept Christ, we go from being dark to having His light within us. We are under His present tense. It means it starts and it continues. When you accept Jesus Christ, you become light. And it should continue the rest of your life. But the thing to understand is that there should be a difference between what you used to be like and what you are now. Because Christ, when He's in your life, He is light and He gives you the ability to reflect His light. And see, that bothers me sometimes. Because I know sometimes in our culture, we think that salvation is to keep us from going to hell. It's all about going to heaven. But people, listen. Salvation is about change. It's about changing from darkness to light. From not knowing God to knowing God. From not living for God to living for God. It is a profound change that should take place in every single person's life. So the only way to have light is to have Jesus. And then he comes around and he says, we are to be light. And then in Matthew 5, verse 14, Jesus says this. He says, you are the light of the world. And see, that's what we need to get a grip on. The way that our little world right here in Mount Anna changes is when we become light. And Jesus said, you are the light. Your little light should shine. And when your life shines, guess what? It affects other people. And so I get kind of discouraged because so many times as Christians, and I was the same way in the early days, I didn't get this concept that it means change. As a matter of fact, he says, walk as children of the light. Live as children of the light. And when your life is lined up with Jesus Christ, you're light. When you're not behind Him, there's darkness. What does our community need? It just needs us to be light, to live for Him. Matthew 5, 14 and 16 says, you are the light of the world. In the same way, light shine before others, they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Listen, you don't change people by screaming about their sins. You change people by pointing them to Jesus who changes people. So, live in the light. And my question is, are you walking in the light? Or are you doing your own thing? Well, there's a second thing. He goes on to talk about in verses 9 and 10. He says, we need to produce fruit of the light. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are to produce fruit. As a matter of fact, if there's no fruit coming from your life, maybe you need to look at what you're believing in. Now, he gives us only three words here that describe the fruit that is to come from our life in Christ. The first one is the word good. He says, all that is good, goodness. Now, I've always struggled with that word, because what does that mean for me and you as Christian? Here's what it refers to. It refers to moral excellence. Well, I read that and I thought, well, what does moral excellence mean? Well, what moral excellence means is that we are both in nature and effectiveness good. Inside, you hear someone say he's a good man, what they're really saying, he's good on the inside, but he's also good on the outside. And the thing about goodness, this fruit, it finds its highest expression in helping other people. And I believe so profoundly that one of the ways that the church shows the dark community what it's all about is through us being good to them. Now, I grew up in a time where basically if you weren't one of us, you were an enemy. But as I look at the scripture, one of the things I see over and over again is the call from God's word for God's people to be goodness, to be good, to reach out to those who are in darkness and do good things. So many times the church only does good things to good church people. That's not biblical. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, Paul said it this way. He says, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek, and here it is, always seek to do good to one another. And then he adds this, and to everyone. As the church, First Baptist Mount Ida, we are to do good to people. We are to look for ways to do good to people. That is a fruit. When you're good on the inside, it means you're going to be good to others on the outside. And that is one of the fruits that he wants us to have. But then he says, we also need to have the fruit of righteousness. He says, all that is right. Now, this word righteousness, it's got two aspects to it. First of all, and this sounds so churchy, but it's called imputed righteousness. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are given the righteousness of Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. You could never live a good enough life to be forgiven. But when you accept Christ, He imputes His righteousness into your life. But if that happens, you are to be righteous in the way you live your life. And that word sounds so churchy, but to be righteous means you do what is right. It's not complicated. So Christians, we need to be righteous. We need to be people who do the right thing. And we need to understand that when we get saved, it means that, yes, Jesus gives us His righteousness, but He expects us do right to other people. Goodness and righteousness are the fruit of light. But the word there, a simple word, it's a word called true. He says, all that is true. Truthfulness. What does that word literally mean? Now listen, church, here's what it means. Truth has to do with honesty, reliability, trustworthiness, and integrity. So as Christians, we're to be full of truth, which means we're not hypocrites. It means we're full of integrity. It means that we are true. We don't just talk about truth. We are true. And those three fruits, goodness, righteousness, and truthfulness, are what turn the light on in any community. The church, which is you, which is me, we need to be light. And those are the three things. And you can kind of wrap it up with verse 10, where he gives us the challenge. And I don't know if you realize this is what we're all supposed to do. He says, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. You know, my life started to change when I started to try to find out what pleased God. And there were many things in my life that weren't pleasing to Him, trust me. And I all of a sudden went from a guy who was just glad he was going to heaven to being a guy who really cared about it. And we need to understand one of the things we need to ask ourselves is, how do I please the Lord? And then when we ask that question, we look to God's Word for Him to teach us. So the fruit that we should produce is goodness, righteousness, and truthfulness. And we should try to please the Lord. Now here's the good part. Here's how you expose the deeds of darkness. Look at verse 11. He says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Here's what he says. You're not supposed to do the things that you used to do. You can go look at the deeds of the flesh and other passages earlier in Ephesians. He talked about the danger of speaking unwholesome words, lying, stealing. Listen, when we become a believer in Jesus Christ, we're different. Or we should be. The problem is, I think sometimes we're not. He says, take no part in the unfruitful deeds or works of darkness, but instead, expose them. Now, he says, for it is shameful even to speak of these things that they do in secret, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. Here is how we expose darkness. We expose darkness by being light. Those three things. When we have goodness, when we have righteousness, when we have truthfulness, when we live lives that please the Lord, guess what that does? It gets rid of the darkness. As Christians, we're not to take part. I have Christians all the time say, well, he doesn't care about this sin. No, God cares about every sin. And He cares about them for our own good. But as Christians, we need to understand that being a Christian means you change. And you don't do the things you used to do. And we need to understand that one of the sorriest witnesses we have to a dark community is when we talk about Jesus and living for Jesus, and yet we're living in darkness. We're choosing to still have dark air because the lost world goes, I'm doing better than that person. We need to understand that when we are not living the life, we're not exposing, but we're also showing our hypocrisy. So how do you expose darkness? Well, you don't talk about other people's sins. You be the light. Let me tell you some practical ways that happen. I got my life together. I'd become a Christian in the fourth grade, but I was a freshman in college, and my girlfriend had broken my heart, and I had tried to go back to my old way of living. And it wasn't going very good because I wasn't happy. But one day I was sitting on a curb, and a friend of mine found me sitting on the curb. And he says, Ashburn, what happened to you? I said, well, Janice Crank King broke my heart. He already knew this. He didn't tell me this till later. And basically, I've gone back to heavy drinking, and I'm just miserable. So this guy says, hey, there's a guys hanging out. Why don't you come join us? Well, when you're going through a loss of a girlfriend, you've given up all your friends for the girlfriend, you're looking for a friend. So I said, okay. So mind you, at this time, my vocabulary was stressful. A little bad. No issue. Okay. You name the word I did not miss. This group of guys invited me to hang out with them. There were about eight of us. And so, as I was hanging around with them, none of them, not one single one of them, used a cuss word. Now, let me tell you, when you use the big words in a group of people who don't use the big words, you feel like an idiot. My way of expressing myself was, I mean, you know the guys who's into the words that you used. And I would use them, and they didn't condemn me. They didn't even say, hey, Bill, that's a dumb statement. We know I'm cussing. But you know what they did? They just loved it. Never said, hey, Bill, you need to be like us. No. You know what they did? They turned the light on. And I also, at that time, loved to smoke. And you know how much fun it is to smoke in a group where nobody else smokes? And so they didn't say one word. They didn't say, Bill, you have to quit smoking. They just turned the light on. So after a while, I quit smoking because it was a little embarrassing. And what I discovered about being around them is they didn't tell dirty jokes. So I never really did that. But when you're around these guys, it was just like being in the light. Those eight guys, through their light, changed my life. You know why? Because I could see where to go because they were reflecting the light of Christ. They were the light of Christ. My sophomore year in college, my freshman year in college, was when I was struggling with the language barrier. And I'll never forget, my sophomore year, I was playing a guy in junior college in tennis. And the year before, I called him every name in the book. Tennis, you may think, is a very polite sport. But when you would cross each other, you know, the net, you have to cross over. There's no telling what I said. Well, there was, I know what I said many times. And so, my freshman year, he heard these vocabulary words that we won't repeat. My sophomore year, I played, and I decided to start trying to live for Christ. And so when I missed a shot, I didn't say anything. And when I went by him, I didn't say anything. And you know what he said to me? He asked me, and if I remember correctly, he was from Sweden. He said, what happened to you? And you know what I told him? I said, well, I've turned my mouth over. And I don't use those words anymore. You know what? He noticed it. Now, I didn't get saved by... I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying when you try to live in the light, when you try to be the light, when you try to do what God wants you to do, you shine. But when you are just like everybody else, it's hard. You say, well, that's hard to do. Yeah, it is hard to do. When I was in college, again, I worked in a place and it was pretty rough. And, you know, I had to learn that I had to walk away when they told certain jokes because they were so bad. You know what they asked me? At the end of that time of working that summer, they asked me, why didn't you act like us? These were grown men. And I was able to share Jesus Christ. You see, my goodness is not my goodness. Goodness working through me. And I'm not all good. But my goal is to be. My goal is to reflect Him. And that's why Jesus said in 15, in the same way, let your light shine others so they may see first and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So the way that you expose darkness is by being light. When you walk in a dark room, how do you get rid of the darkness? You turn the light on. You don't a hymn of repentance and encouragement. And a lot of times they believe that this hymn was sung as someone was baptized. And the best way to describe this hymn is to say it basically is saying to us, the church, wake up. Wake up. You are the light. Look what it says. For anything that becomes visible is light, therefore, says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I really think in an incredibly wonderful time with the virus. You know why? Because people are having to think about a lot of things. And if the church will wake up, that's me, that's you, we have the hope. We have the answer, but we, the church, have to wake up. Listen, we may not go back to doing church, the way we used to. You know why? It may not be what we should do. We have to continually ask Jesus Christ how to be light in our community, how to be light in our everyday lives, and as He tells us, we change. That's what I love about y'all. We change. And we will continue to change. And we, the church, are not a building. We're not a 10:50 starting time. We are the light of Jesus Christ. That is what we need to wake up to. We need to wake up to being light. This time, not be doing this stupid stuff. I don't know. I'm tired of it. Because church to me is people. It's people, loving Jesus, and loving people who don't love Jesus. And so we need to understand that as the church, we've got to wake up. We live in a wonderful time. We need to quit complaining about stuff that doesn't matter. Wherever you go, whether it's your job or recreation, whatever, you need to be good on Facebook and on FM. But all I know is right now, we can make a difference. And it's only going to be made when you take your little light and you shine wherever you go. Okay? We are the light. Our world needs to see us. 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says this. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. The church has to be awake. The church has to be sober. And we've got to constantly be thinking how to reach our community. Because this is where the darkness is. I love you guys, and y'all are wonderful. I appreciate those who helped me. You know, this didn't happen by accident. We worked on this all day yesterday. Didn't have anything working. This morning, God blessed us where I think most of the FM ever worked.
Pretty much the whole time.
Pretty much. You do understand this FM thing. It's complicated. If another station comes through, it knocks us out. But anyway, we've done our very best. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to determine now to wake up and go First Baptist Mount Ida, change this community from darkness to light. We're going to do that through children. We're going to do that through youth. And we're going to do that through adults. And so we live in a wonderful time. And I challenge you to be live in a world that desperately needs it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for our church family. And we thank you that we could be together. We thank you for the perfect weather. I think you just knew we needed to see each other and make sure everybody was alive. I thank you most of all for the light that you give us. It's not our light, it's your light. And I pray that every single person in this room will do their very best to be light in a dark world.